My name is Ruth Crump, Secretary of Ballartown Football Club. You are listening to the JD Welsh Premier League podcast with Jonah and Weber.
Start spreading the news. I'm leaving today.
Well, they say New York is the city that never sleeps. The JD Welsh Premier League is the league that never sleeps. Sorry we've been away for a while. We've been waiting for TNS to finish their game and Connors Quay to play catch-up as well. Welcome. There's only one game on our mind, really, this week. We'll talk about the big one between those top two in a second. Lots of other things to talk about as well, though. We will talk about under-21 and under-19 performances for JDWPL stars. And we'll have a look ahead to the rest of the week's games. But Jonah, look, we always knew that this was going to be some sort of a plum tie when the Scorio boys picked and dispatched you to TNS for this game on Saturday. But I mean, even more so now, surely, this game between Nomads and TNS is just one cracker, isn't it?
Mark, I think most probably biggest Welsh Premier game for a couple of seasons, can we say? It is first against seconds. I know they've been first against seconds before. But with Connors Quay 2 points clear, so, you know, it could be a massive season changer were they to get a result. If they don't get a result, they're still in a race because there's nothing between the two clubs and there's a long way to go. But I think last night's 3-1 victory by Connors Quay after being 1-0 down at half-time to the Druids, I think people were thinking, oh, here we go, can they sustain this? Can they do this? They scored 3 goals and won comfortably in the second half. So, you know, they won in the second half in the Iron Brew, which again keeps their season going on four fronts. So it looks like they're up for the battle, mate. And obviously TNS have gone to town tonight and won convincingly. But what a game. You know, you couldn't have picked a better game. This is the big one. This is our equivalent of Man City versus Liverpool the other week in the English Premier League. And I just hope we get more goals than they did.
Well, I want to pick your brains more later on that game, but first let's hear from two people who are far more important than us. Andy Morrison from the Nomads.
We're in a really good space, Nick. You know, I think that's 7 wins in 8. And the game we lost, we dominated Carnarvon here and it wasn't our night. I was worried that it could be that tonight, but it wasn't to be, you know, because we had to make it happen. They made it happen. And I'm so pleased because they're just a difficult team to play. They know how to play the referee. They know how to kill the game. They know how to make things difficult. You know, there's so much going on off the ball. And we rose above that tonight. We didn't get involved in it. And the best team clearly won.
You talk about the turning point in the first half, John Danby's penalty save. John making his 100th Welsh Premier League appearance tonight. How big's John been for you during
John's
your time?
John's been fantastic. He went fantastic for me on the first goal, where I think my missus could have saved it. But, you know, and I've just sat up to him, but he digs us out with a penalty save, and that's John Danby, you know, and John rarely ever makes a mistake, you know, and he's so reliable, and the penalty's a big, you know, when John just put his hand up in there, you know, it's a big turning point because, you know, at 2-0, then you are talking about being very, very difficult, you know. And you know, we made changes on Saturday at halftime and we won the game. We made changes tonight and we're being brave with our decisions. But that's down to the personnel and the players that I have at my disposal. You know, when you can bring Rob Hughes, Jonah on and Andy Owens and still have Declan Poole not involved and Nathan Wolfe on the bench, you know, I'm a very, very lucky boy that I've got that talented players. I can ask them to do things. I can ask them to go out and be brave and get on the ball. And I thought we did that second half and, you know, we played Airbus here and we beat them 5-1 and was the best we've ever moved the ball. But you know, second half tonight, that's as pleasing as a performance in possession as I've had since I've been at the club and, you know, onwards and upwards.
And Scott Rusko from TNS.
Exactly what we're asking from them. You know, we're creating chances and could have had a few more there if we're being honest. But, you know, we'll take that, another 6 goals. The only blot of the night was the goal that didn't really have to work to get. And didn't really test us first half. I think Paul saved one that was in the centre of the goal and it was a good save in the end, but the only slight negative over the 90 minutes. You know, we're in an unfamiliar position, being second in the league, but just shows that somebody else is there ready to take top spot if we're not at our best and not at it. So, yeah, looking forward to the game. Got to do homework, got to have a look at their team and what they're playing and substitutions they're making and what differences we can do before the game and if it will tell on the day. So, yeah, we'll always do the homework and I'm sure they do as well.
let's go and analyse a couple of things about these two teams individually. We'll start with Nomads because they are in a very strong position. It'll be 2 points clear by the time these two meet again. But it always seems that the gap is narrowing. And you know, the one thing we have to say about TNS, of course, is that they are seasoned pros at winning this title. They know how to win this title. So are they less afraid of being 2 points behind than a Nomads perhaps would have been afraid?
No, I just think they obviously they're not usually behind. But their expectancy at the beginning of the season, at midway through the season and at the end of the season will be to win the title. However comfortably they win it is might be, you know, not so important this season because the gap is definitely being closed. But I know there's a group of players at Connors Quay and a manager who thinks they have the capability to close the gap now. So that's what's making it such a fantastic race. And are we being too early to, you know, to cast off the others? Don't forget, you know, Ballytown are third. They play at home this week against Llanelli, which we'll go on to later. They could close the gap on either one who gets defeated on Saturday, you know, on Saturday night. And so, there could be nothing between the teams come the next round of fixtures. And that, by the way, is the halfway fixture next week. So, you know, everybody, the title race, which is usually almost single-handedly won by the halfway stage, is on and is very much on.
Yeah, we will talk about those games later. I just want to carry on talking about Nomads and TNS for a minute. Look, Nomads were absolutely impressive against Coleraine. The reward for that is to sort of try and do something that TNS couldn't this season, and that's beat Queen's Park in the next round of the Iron Brew.
Yeah, unbelievable. You know, it's an unbelievable draw for one of us to get Queen's Park again. I mean, what would have you wanted if you were Morrison? How are you going to lift your players? Which team do you want? You know, do you want the favourites? Do you want one of the underdogs? Do you want to go to one of the, you know, the biggest venues in Britain over the last 100 years, Hampden Park? That has to lift your players straight away. You know, I know, you know, I don't think they'll fill many seats there. But if I'm a player, if I'm a manager, if it's one of the, you know, this it is the select ground in the competition left in, and they've been lucky enough to be chosen to play there. So I think that'll lift the Nomads already. And yeah, they have a great chance of getting through to the semi-finals. Great chance of going all the way, if I'm being honest.
Well, back to this weekend's league game. You know, Nomads have gone toe-to-toe with quite a few teams this season. They've gone toe-to-toe on a positive basis. It's not been a defence. And this game, I think in a way I'm glad it's being played at Park Hall, because I think that will bring out more of the attacking positivity of Nomads. They might feel they have to go and win there, and it's not about shutting up shop for an away point.
There's two ways of looking at that, right? If I was Andy Morrison, and I would have loved to have had TNS on the Deeside Stadium with the same conditions as they played against Coleraine last week, but Andy will tell you his team can play different ways. And there's two ways of looking at it. I've watched TNS twice in the last 3 weeks. The Met went toe-to-toe with him, had a real go with him, and got a great result, which doesn't always happen, by the way, because you can get picked off by a class side like them anyway. Carmarthen stood off him, and, you know, they made a couple of mistakes and it cost him. And I don't know which way Llandudno have gone about him this evening, but it's 4-0 half time, so they look to be back on form, TNS, and, you know, really, you know, it's whichever way you go at them, it's a gamble. But myself, I used to like to have a go at them. And if they beat you, they beat you. But at least it's the old saying, Mark, and, you know, you have a go fighting.
Interestingly, that game against Llandudno that TNS have just played, the people who are scoring are what I would now call the old-timers, in a way. Greg Draper's scoring. Brobbles just scored. They are names we recognise from the sort of core of TNS, yet one or two of them have been on the sidelines this season.
They have, and maybe, you know, maybe Scott's having another look at him because, you know, Greg's only 29, I think, and that is, you know, he has miles left in him. Brobble, I think, Ryan Brobble is about 27, 28, so he has years left in him, you know what I mean? So Greg might just be peaking as a goal scorer, by the way. you know, and Brabble will, you know, be trying to prove his point. He's been out with the side a lot lately, so a couple of goals each for them would most probably mean that they might start on Saturday, but who can tell? But it all points, you know, to a great fixture this Saturday. That, like I said, there's different styles, there's different players who will oppose each other. One thing's for sure, right, they all know everything about each other. The familiarity of this league, you know, Callum Morris will line up against Aaron Edwards, Georgie Horan, Mike Mark, Greg. You know, you can almost pick them off, so they'll know what who they're playing against. But it's a battle and a game I'll be really pleased to be, you know, commentating on Saturday evening. I'm really looking forward to it.
Well, we will leave it there for that one. We'll talk about the rest of the games in a second, but we've got to say, some great international call-ups for the Welsh Premier League over the past few days. Ben Cabango in the under-19s, Toure getting a call-up from Barry Town United for the 21s. Let's hear what Gavin Chesterfield's got to say about that.
Yeah, really proud, to be fair. Firstly, you know, great lad. You know, the lads have really taken to him. The club has really taken to him. And I think he's enjoying life in the JD Welsh Premier League. For me, you know, to receive that information is a massive pat on the back for, you know, the Welsh Premier League. It's a pat on the back for us as a club. It's a pat on the back for Newport County and what they try to do for player development, you know, to ensure that Modu is getting, you know, a tough hit out every week for his development. And I think that was a really, you know, educated decision by Mike Flynn. But more than anyone, it's a pat on the back for Modu himself. And I hope that he's able to get on the field and get a 21s cap under his belt. And I have to say his efforts this year fully deserve this. So, yeah, hopefully he does well. But all told, an immense feeling of pride, and naturally we wish him nothing but the very best.
And we'll start them in reverse order, Jonah. Modu Toure has just been knocking them in. You know, he is a quality player. So, you know, he absolutely deserved that break, didn't he?
Yeah, brilliant. Fantastic for somebody from our league to get the break, you know. We did the testimonial a couple of weeks ago for Lloydy, Gary Lloydy. May have been one of the last ones to be selected for a squad. You know, there hasn't been many over the last, 15 to 20 seasons, 10 seasons, you know, into a national squad. But this is brilliant. Toure, brilliant, well done, and congratulations. I was at the game. They won 3-1 against Switzerland. He got on in the second half. It's fantastic for him. Fantastic for Barry Town. I hope it enhances his career. And exactly the same for Ben Cabango with TNS. He's had an international call-up. This, I hope, will start a production line of international players coming out of our league. People are starting to look at it a bit more, Mark. We kept saying, you know, we've been saying it a long time, banging a drum on this podcast about it. There's decent players in this league under the age of 23 need to be looked at by a couple of these scouts, I'm telling you.
Indeed, indeed. Well, let's move on to the rest of the weekend's fixtures. A few happening on the Friday. So we've got Barry Town United against Llanelli, Jonah. And of course, Gavin Chesterfield getting manager of the month this month for his performances, or his team's performances. Is that going to be a curse on Friday?
Well, they had their 1-0 last week. I don't know whether they had the result by them. They defeated Carmarthen 1-0. It's a big game for them. They have two big games, like we said, to stay in the race. They beat Carmarthen, so that's the 3 points. They are one of the top teams at home this season, Barry, by the way. You know, they've been almost invincible at home. They'll expect 3 points against Llanelli. Llanelli, by the way, Mark, I know they got defeated 2-0 by the Met. Even the Met players, I talked to a few of the Met players, said Llanelli were red hot in the first period against them. And Loveridge, who's nearly at the top of the goal scoring charts, he, for the first time this season, he missed about 3 one-on-ones. But he scored in the first game against Barry in August when we did the game. So I think it'll be an entertaining game. I'll be there on Friday evening. I hope again that both teams, you know, get good support. I think there'll be 600 or 700 there. And, you know, you just have to say to both clubs when you're looking at this fixture, well done, especially Chesterfield with Barry, because 5.5 years ago this was a fixture that I think could have been or was in the Welsh League Division 3. So, you know, what a transformation. Well done on him winning the Manager of the Month award. And if you look at it in the long term, look, what an award, because 5.5 seasons ago, they were in the Welsh League Third Division. Not many managers last that long. Not many managers last 5.5 months now. So, well done. But I hope the Reds bring a busload or two down, and it's a cracking game Friday night.
Ah, Barry, title contenders as well. You mentioned this earlier. Do you think we should be considering them in this race as well?
I don't think they'll be title contenders. It might be a year or two too soon for them, to be honest. But at the halfway stage, right, this will be the 11th game. If you'd have said at the start of the season, Ballytown would have been third, right? I don't know, snapping your hands off. They'd have snapped your legs off as well. So, you know, they've done really, really well. But with that home form, if you're third with that home form where they've been showing all season, you know, that could keep them in the mix. It could keep them in the mix. Just see how the other two go. I don't see them lasting, you know, with the other two all the way. But were Barry to come third or maybe, you know, third or fourth, that's almost like winning a title for them in their re-emergence into this league.
At this stage, do you see them being stronger than a Bala, a Cardiff Met?
Very close between them. With the Met, if the Met get back to full strength, they could be, you know, challengers. Bala, like you say, going so very, very tight to pick. The top six at the moment could be the top six that finishes the season. But into what position they finish, you know, first, second, most probably Connors Key and Connors Key and TNS, you know, that'll be the battle there. But then there'll be a terrific battle between the likes of Bala, Barry, the Met and Newtown, and the likes. It'll be a terrific battle for Europe this year.
Well, one of the sides you mentioned there, we'll be facing another side that's a top six at the moment. We probably didn't expect to happen as well. Carnarvon, the Coffee Army, hosting another great game under the lights on Friday night when Newtown pop up. We'll know it'll be a good attendance, Jonah. What kind of football are we going to see from these two?
Open game. If this is the one game I think I would, you know, I don't think this will be 0-0. Newtown love going forward. They got plenty of pace up top. Exactly the same with Carnarvon. They love getting forward. I think that's the surprise thing about Carnarvon. I know they had a 0-0 against Aber last week, but if you look at the highlights again, you know, Ramsey's had a good game in goals for Carnarvon, and McCormick's had a good game for Aberystwyth in goals. So they both love getting forward. So I see goals in this game. They've both done really well. So Chris Hughes will go into this game under no pressure. Sean Eardley going to this game under no pressure. Players under no real pressure. Just, you know, who can win the battle of two of the most improved clubs in Welsh football at the moment? Friday evening at the Oval. Get there and let's hope you're amongst a four-figure crowd.
Well, they've certainly made it tough for the likes of Bala and Cardiff Met to hold on to those top two, those third and fourth positions, haven't they? And also for Kevin Druids now. Kevin Druids host Cardiff Met this Saturday at 2:30. Let's catch up with Ben Bowler from Cardiff Met.
It's the best part of 5 years I've been at this club. So that equates to, you know, not far off a fifth of my life. And, you know, I think I really just really appreciate everything I've had here. Some really, really good memories with some really, really good friends. And it was just a really nice moment, yeah. We see so much of each other in and around university and stuff like that. We're very close with friends, like you said. We do things outside of football together as well. And I think it is important that, and it does reflect on the pitch. And more than anything, it's a nice environment to play football in. It really is. Just to repeat myself, if I look back over my last 5 years here at university, no doubt, no shadow of a doubt, my favourite memories will definitely be with all the people in that changing room. So, and I think that's a really special thing for me.
And it has been a funny old season for both of them already, hasn't it? I mean, they will be looking at lost chances, lost points gone, thinking what could have been. What do they both need to do? What are the weaknesses in these two sides as they approach the next 11 games, Jonah?
Yeah, I think consistency. Consistency, because only six months ago, this was a European final, wasn't it? It was the Europa League final where Hughie Griffiths' team edged through and you know, got into Europe. So Rome won't built in a day, and teams don't go bad in a day or a couple of weeks. Hughie could still believe that his team could be more consistent and get to a mid-table slot, I think, which we would accept at the moment. Christian, I think, is looking definitely to get in the top six and have that third bash at getting through in a European playoff places. fitness, consistency, the same sort of answers that come throughout from every football manager will be used in abundance over this game. Huey's team might have been a bit stale because of Europe, and that can be expected. If you play, you know, almost 12 months right the way through it, you know, you can get caught out a bit. And the Met, I think, have just been looking for consistency with their injuries. If they get them all fit, they could be one of the late charges for Europe.
I was going to say, the Met have been the least consistent side in terms of the people who have turned up to play for them this week because of all of those injuries and changes that you've mentioned. Yet they are performing better than Druids.
Yeah, but they're still holding on in the race. You know, they just need to put a couple of results together. Their inconsistency has meant, you know, they had a great start. I think it was 3 wins, and they had 3 defeats, and they had a couple of wins, a couple of defeats. That's the way it's been going for them. But I think if you know, he's in the top 6 at the moment. So if he wins, I think he has 12 games to go. Liable to win 6 or 7 of them, which they're capable of, they'll get into European playoffs in the top 6. Huey at this stage would most probably have to win, you know, 7 maybe out of the next 12. So it's a little bit more difficult for him. But once again, I think Huey would look at a mid-table finish as a success after Europe. And I think, you know, that can be okay because he's built in the club from nowhere. You know, he's kept the same staff, kept the same type of players. So you're liable to get one good season, one average season. But I think Christian might just be looking for a bit more. He's brought in new players. He's got, if his key players come back, I still see them in with a shout of getting in Europe through the playoffs.
So Carmarthen host Bala on Saturday at 2:30. And again, the results have been disappointing for Carmarthen this season, haven't they?
Yeah, they have. I thought they look a lot better. They look much better. They've been edged out a couple of games, like the one Saturday. And in that Saturday's game, by the way, Carmarthen down at Barry, you know, this was a little bit different to the week before when they got beat by TNS, because Mike Lewis had an absolute blinder of a game in goals. You know, see the highlights on Scurry. He's tipped about 4 or 5 round the posts. So they gave it a real go, even though they were defeated at Barry. But that's been a little bit, you know, it's becoming fashionable getting beat at the moment. So they got to put a stop to it. Their home form's good. Their home form being good, TNS apart all season. So, you know, they won't be afraid at home, Carmarthen. I think Smudger and Danny will say, come on, let's have a go. Ballas, home form hasn't been terrific. So this could be the toughest one of the weekend to pick this. Would Smudge take a point at home? I think he won 3. Would Colin take a point on his travels because he haven't had many away so far? I think he'll want 3. That's what could make it an entertaining game.
And finally, last but not least, Llandudno against Aber. Now, Llandudno have felt the rub end of a TNS drubbing in the past 24 hours. And look, that happens to the best of them, doesn't it? There have been many a team that has fallen foul that way. We can't think really about, Llandudno in one game. Consistently over the past few games, though, Jonah, games that could have been and should have been won, not being won. How do you think the mood is there at the moment?
Yeah, you're right, Mark. Unfortunately, first thing I'll say is I hope nobody looks at the one-off games, because as we know, right? I think it was early on in the season we talked about Ballytown just now, what a wonderful season they're having. Gavin will tell you they got dumped 5-1 at TNS. Which proves anybody can go to TNS and you know, be on the wrong end of a hiding. So I hope nobody reacts, you know, to that sort of result. Listen, I know Ewan, right, he's a football man. He's been in football a few years now. It's just unfortunate sometimes when the going gets tough, you have to dig in, you have to turn your team around. I'm sure he has the capabilities of doing it, but it's not going well for him at the moment. But he'll come out of it a better, if he gets out of this now and turns their season round, right, he'll come out of it a much better and stronger football manager, because when it's going rough, you can feel the pressure. Life's not rosy when you're a football manager, when you know you're getting beat and people are thinking, is this good enough, is that good enough? But just a couple of results he needs. If he can get a win Saturday, right, we're back on the road, and a win a week later, take 7 out of the next 9 points, right? He's one of the most promising Welsh managers again on his pro licence. Everything going right for him. Such a fickle game. But I just hope that, you know, he's given a chance to prove himself in the 12-month, in the season.
Well, I mean, this is my point on this. I think we talk a lot always when a team is not performing, that it's the what's the manager doing, etc., etc. But I, you know, you mustn't forget that there are at least 11 players that play for Llandudno on that pitch every game. Those performances have been inconsistent from those players. And bearing in mind that, you know, Ewan's had to go in there and he's really had to freshen things up because things weren't great when he was at the tail end of the season. He's brought in new people, which is what he wanted to do and what the club needed to do, I think. And these players are not performing.
Yeah, the big change, there was a big influx, wasn't there? And a lot went out and a lot came in, right? Not many stayed. I think only a handful stayed. You can count them on one hand, which sometimes is a gamble. And it's a gamble that sometimes has to be proved quickly, but it hasn't been proved quickly at the moment. Perhaps they're just taking their time. You know, the first 11 games have no doubt been a struggle. But should they click, like I said, it's all about consistency and getting a click going. You know, players have to, you know, you have to know their habits. You have to know who you can depend on. You have to know who you can trust. You know, some people take time to gamble. Who's going to win that header? Who's going to get on the second ball? Who's going to put the pass through? You have to learn things about players. And it's unfortunately not, football managers are not given that much time at the moment. But, you know, if he could just get him back into mid-table mediocrity now, that would be decent. If he were to finish 7th, I would say, by the end of the season, and almost, you know, almost stealing in playoff places, or make a late charge, there's still plenty of points to play for yet. You know, he could be mid-table, I think, is at least, you know, he has to go for. I think they're capable of doing that should they click. So let's get, hey, get, you know, let's get a bit of luck. Let's get him a bit of luck and hope he has a run of results. Same, by the way, goes for Abba. You know, you're only talking about a young manager, so we'll talk about Nev now. He's come in, you know, trying so hard, him and Gavin Allen. They you know, they're working their socks off down there, I can tell you that. I speak to Mally, you know, nearly every week, and I know Gavin and Nev, how passionate they are. They're exactly the same as any other football manager, Mark. Run of results. That's all you need. We're talking about Martin O'Neill last night and Roy Keane, two of the people been in the game as long as anybody, you know, two giants of the game. They're on a poor run. The pressure's on them. That is the remit in football, results. Everybody wants pretty football, but there's only one thing more important than pretty football, Mark. When you're a football manager, that's results.
Oh, yeah, my heart bleeds for Martin O'Neill and Keane. Yeah, I feel really, really sorry undone, for them.
Undone by the young guns. They've done brilliant. Brilliant. Well done, Harry Wilson.
He reminds me of one of those members of the Kraftwerk. He's sort of got those chiselled, pale German looks. He can stick him behind a keyboard and he looked like being Kraftwerk.
I tell you, he reminds me of, right, one of the, a great player who played for one of the, you know, the top football clubs a few years ago, Ari Kuehl. I know it's the same name, same type of player. Gets it on the wing, darts inside, loves to get a shot off. Almost the same haircut as Kuehl as well. Top player, mate. Top player, big career in front of him. And thank God he got a Welsh shirt on.
Indeed. Well, so good news on that front. Exciting news to come, of course, in the next 7 days as we keep our eye on all of those games in the JDWPL. I hope you can go and see some, or at least get in front of a TV screen on Saturday to see the big one, which is TNS against Connors Quay Nomads. To end off, sad news, I'm afraid. Once we'll stay on the subject of TNS. All of us pretty sad here at the podcast to hear about what happened to Steve Norcross. Massive TNS fan, massive Wales fan, affectionately known as Ginge. Fortunately involved in a car accident in Oswestry earlier on in the week. Always at a Wales game, always at a TNS game. And I know that other clubs and other fans from rival sides have already tweeted to sort of pass on their condolences to the club. We do exactly here the same at the podcast. I know Ginge was passionate about this league. And anybody who we lose like that is a sad day for us as well. So all our thoughts with TNS and, of course, Steve Norcross's family.
God bless the Stevens family, Mark.